Jeremiah chapter 32 this morning. Jeremiah chapter 32. We are verses this morning. Jeremiah 32, 9 through verse 12. If you find it, if you'll stand, Jeremiah chapter 32. I'll read verses 9 and 11. If you'll read with me on verses 10 and verse 12. In Jeremiah chapter 32, verse number 9. And I bought the field of Hanameel, my uncle's son, that was in Nathoth, and weighed him the money, even 70 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence, and sealed it, and took witnesses, and weighed him the money in the balances. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. And I gave the evidence of purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Isaiah, in the sight of Hanameel, mine uncle's son, in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase, before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. Let's pray this morning. Lord, again, thank you for the opportunity to hear the words from your book this morning. Thank you so much for church, Lord. I thank you just to be able to be in a place where the Holy Spirit seems to meet with us. Thank you so much for the message we heard last Sunday morning, Lord, how it spoke to my heart. Lord, I pray you be with the message this morning. I pray that you would just allow any distractions that might come, Lord. Just, Lord, I pray your presence would be here. Bless us this morning. Lord, be with preacher and his voice again. Bless the music. In your name we pray. Amen.
Healing, forgiving. appreciate that. All right. I have more material than I'm going to be able to preach this morning. So this will probably be a part one, part two type message, and either finish it tonight or next Sunday morning. And so don't miss and be in your place. Now, we will have regular service tonight. Don't think just because we're having this bus meeting that it means, oh, there's nothing for me. There'll be church here tonight as normal at 6:30, and I don't want you to miss out on that. I want you to take your Bible where we read a moment ago, and I want you to look at verse number 11, where you will find the words, the evidence of the purchase. Do you see that in verse 11? Jeremiah said, so I took the evidence of the purchase. Now, this is repeated again in verse 12. And I gave the evidence of the purchase. Okay? Then you're reading down a few scriptures to verse 14. Take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase. Now, there's again. And then down in verse 16. Now, when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase. When you read your Bible and you come across, that's why it's a good thing to read a Bible, read your Bible with a pen or a pencil in hand. And then when you notice a word or phrase being repeated in your that passage of the Bible, it's not because God ran out of something to say. It's for sake of emphasis, 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 okay? And God was saying something to the nation of Israel here. And He says something to us today. I want to talk to you on the subject, God's title deed. God's title deed. You see, the evidence of the purchase. God's title deed. All right? Let's pray together. Now, our Father, we love You this morning. Thank You for the privilege to be in church, for the good music. And, Lord, there seems to have been an emphasis today in the music on the resurrection of Jesus. And so I want to say to you that I'm glad I serve a risen Savior. And I'm glad that He lives, not only in heaven, at the right hand of His Father, but I'm glad that He lives in my heart, and He lives in the hearts of many in this room. And Lord, if Jesus, if You don't reside in every heart, if there's somebody here whose heart You are not residing in this morning, I pray that You will be before they go home today. We love You. We need Your help. Bless me. Help me, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Old Testament prophets were sometimes commanded by God to do things that were symbolic. God would command a prophet to do something normal or abnormal. If you'd like to read some very abnormal things that God commanded a prophet to do, read the book of Ezekiel. That poor fella had to go through so much that God asked him to do that was abnormal. I don't have time for it this morning. So he would ask him to do something, normal or abnormal, for the purpose of sending His people a message. Now, God told Jeremiah to buy a field from his cousin Hanamel. Jeremiah, go to your cousin and buy a field from your cousin named Hanamel. Now, this was a strange time to be purchasing land because God had already prophesied through Jeremiah that the army of Babylon was coming and they were going to invade. And they were going to conquer and capture Judah and Jerusalem. Now watch it. And the land would be under Babylonian control. Now He'd already told them that. All right? Babylonian oppression. Babylonian dominion. So it was rather odd that anybody would be making a purchase of land at this time. But God had a reason for it. And God's reason for having Jeremiah do this was to show the people or tell the people that the occupation of their land by the enemy could only be temporary. It would only be temporary. By the way, when the mainline news media tells you that Israel is occupying land that belongs to the Palestinians, that's not true. It's their land. And God told Jeremiah that the Babylonians are going to occupy this land, but it's only going to be temporary. It's not going to last. It's going to last for 70 years. And so He said, I'm going to put you back into it. I'm going to put Israel back in. Look at verse 15. Look at what He said. You got your Bible open there? Don't ever close your Bible ahead of time because you might look at it. Look at verse 15. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Now watch what He says. Houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Now, it's going to be conquered. It's going to be overrun by the Babylonians, but I'm going to put Israel back into this land again. Okay, so that was God's purpose for the, for Jeremiah doing this. Now let's look at what happened. Look at verse number 9. In verse number 9, Jeremiah buys the field for 17 shekels of silver. Okay, he buys the field. Now in verse number 10 and 11, watch what it says. And I subscribed the evidence of the purchase, and sealed it, and took witnesses, and weighed the money in the balances. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. The legal paperwork was performed for the purchase of the field. All right, just like going to the title company. When you buy land or you buy a house, there's a closing date. And usually it's at the title company. And when we bought our house where we live now, we're down here at Standard Title on Court Street, Kankakee. And we went to the closing. And we did the legal paperwork and the closing of the house and so forth at the title company. And that's what Jeremiah is talking about here. All the legal paperwork for the process of purchasing the land was done there, done legally. Now, I want you to notice that in verse number 11, he talks about two evidences of the purchase, both that which was sealed and that which was open. You see that in verse 11 there, right? So there are two evidences of this purchase at the title company. There's sealed evidence, and then there is open evidence, all right? Now, here's what would happen. They would record a transaction, a title. They would sign it. I mean, all be legally recorded. They would sign it. They would fold it, maybe a trifold or a bifold. And then they would sign it. They would fold it. And they would seal it. Usually, the sealing was just a blot of wax on the paper. And then they would take somebody's ring or signet, and they would press the ring or the signet into the wax, and that would be the official sealing of that document. It was, you've heard the phrase, signed, sealed, and delivered, okay? And so this is what we're talking about. They would take the legal transaction on a piece of paper, fold it, put a blot of wax on the fold, on the open end, and then seal it with a ring. And this was official, and this was a legal document, okay? Then, there was a duplicate of the transaction that was left open. There was one that could be read by anybody, all right? So there were two evidences of the same purchase. One was sealed, one was open. That's how they did the legal transactions back in those days. And so that's what they did here in verse number 11. Now look at verse number 12. I'm not going to take the time to read all of verse 12 here. But Jeremiah says that he gave the evidence of the purchase to Baruch. Baruch was his assistant, okay? He gave the evidence of the purchase to Baruch. And he gave it to Baruch in the sight of all the people who were witnesses. Now look at verse 13. And I charged Baruch before them, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, that's plural. You see that? That's plural. Evidences, plural. This evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed, and this evidence which is open, now watch this, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. So he had both evidences, he had the sealed evidence, and he had the open evidence. The sealed evidence was sealed, couldn't be open. The open evidence anybody could read. He gave them both to Baruch. He said, now you take these evidences and you put them in an earthen vessel for many days. Now look, folks, this is not normally what would have been done. Normally, the evidences, both open and sealed, would have been put somewhere where legal transactions were kept, where legal paperwork was kept. That's what was normally done. But this is not a normal time. So, and this time, because an enemy was coming, because the land would be occupied and taken by the enemy for 70 years, God wanted the evidence placed in an earthen vessel. He said, Jeremiah, I want the evidence of your purchase in that earthen vessel. So at the end of the captivity, when those 70 years is over, and my people come back into this land, and they realize that they've been gone for 70 years, but I brought them back, that earthen vessel with the evidence of the purchase is going to be available, then that evidence would be preserved in that earthen vessel. And the people would know that God did exactly what He promised to do. He promised to bring them back into land, and God always makes good on His promises. Always does. So that's what happened here. Now, all of this was used by God as a sign, as symbolic for the people of Israel. But it is also recorded for you and for me. And I like what Brother Caleb taught in our class, that we have a Bible that is relevant. Okay? Now, it may not all be written to us, but it is all written for us. Okay? This is obvious that this was written to Jeremiah and the people of Israel. But it is preserved and recorded in this passage for you and me. And in some way, the Bible teaches me that I can profit from this story found in Jeremiah chapter 32. So I want to talk about that this morning. I've got more material than I can bring to you in the next few minutes. We'll go as long as we can, and we'll just cut it off. All right? Pick it up down the road. Now, I want you to see number one this morning. Saved people are the purchase of God. Saved people are the purchase of God. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20, Paul wrote these words to save people, to the people of the church at Corinth. He said, "For ye are bought with a price." Saved people are the purchase of God. We are bought with a price. That's what redemption is all about. When you hear the word redeem, when you hear the word redemption, when we sing the song, "Since I have been redeemed," this is what the Bible is talking about. The word redeemed means to buy back. To buy back. Now listen very carefully. Mankind originally belonged to God by right of creation. Mankind belonged to God by right of creation. I trust that we have nobody here this morning that believes the lie, the theory, the falsehood that's been promoted for these many years now, that mankind evolved from lower life forms. That is false, untrue. That's an outright lie. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and that included Adam and Eve. So God created mankind. And so, God created mankind in His own image, the Bible tells us. God owned mankind because He made them. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that Satan came along, the thief. That's what he's called. Jesus called him a thief in John chapter 10 and verse number 10. Called him a thief. A thief. The thief, Satan, came along and he stole mankind. He stole Adam and Eve away from God by tempting them to disobey God. And when they did, they fell away from God, and Satan held power over Adam and Eve. And Satan held power over mankind. Satan had power over them by way of sin and disobedience. And man could do nothing about it. He was in bondage, a servant, a slave to sin and to Satan. Until. And this to me is one of the most wonderful things in all of the Bible. Because, friend, God could have just let us go. He could have just said, "You know what? I made you and put you in a perfect environment and made you after my own image and just gave you one command to obey, and you broke the one commandment. So I'm just going to let you go. And I'm going to create a whole new race of people for me." And if God had done that, you and I would have no hope in this world, friend. We would all be in sin and bondage and oppression to Satan, a slave and a servant to sin. But oh, thank God, He didn't just see us gone in sin and corruption. God, in mercy and love, reached out to bring mankind back to Himself. And that's called redemption. God redeemed mankind. He purchased us back from sin and from Satan. You say, what was the cost of the purchase? How many dollars and cents did it cost God to buy mankind back? Well, listen to the words of Peter, friend. Peter wrote this, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ." You know what it cost God to buy us back? It cost God the life and the blood of His only begotten Son. That's what it cost God. That's a heavy price to pay, people. That's huge. But that's what it cost God. And now we're bought with a price. That's what Paul wrote. Saved people are the purchase of God. The songwriter wrote, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase, purchase, purchase of God." We're bought by God. He redeemed us. He bought us back. Did you remember the story about the little boy who wanted a boat and they didn't have the money to buy a boat then? And so he said, "I'll build one." And he made a boat. And he started with wood. And with his own hands, he fashioned that little boat and brought it into existence and put the little sail on it. And he took it down to the creek one day and put it in the creek, and the water was high. And when he put it in the creek to see if the sailboat would work, it got away from him in the rushing water, and downstream it went. And he went running down through the woods to try to catch it, but it was too swift. The water was too swift. And before he knew it, it was gone, out of sight. And he searched for some time and could never find it. He was so heartbroken. Went back to his house, so sad and so sorrowful that his little boat that he'd made it and fashioned it with his own hands, was gone. Gone. And then one day, he was downtown. And he was walking down the sidewalk. And as he's walking down the sidewalk, he was looking in the little windows of all the stores there in the town square. And to his shock and disbelief, as he looked in through the window of the one store, here was that little boat. It was his boat. It was no mistaking his boat. He had put some little bitty things in it to identify it as his own. And he couldn't believe it. And his jaw dropped and his eyes widened. And he went running into the store and he said, "Can I talk to the owner?" And he found the owner and he said, "Sir," he said, "that boat you have in the window up there, that is my boat. I made that boat. I fashioned it with my own hands. I created it. I put it in the creek one day and the water took it away from me and it was lost. And I found it. Now that's my boat. Can I have my boat?" And the owner said, "Well, son, that's a pretty amazing story. If you ask me," he said, "really, that boat's for sale. And the only way you can have that boat is if you buy it." The little boy went back to his house. And he loved that boat so much. He was so determined. He began to work and to labor and get a little money from doing the chores around his house. And finally, the day came when he had enough money saved up, a few pennies and cents and dollars, to go down to that store. And he went to the owner and he said, "Sir, here it is." And he put the money on the counter and he got the little boat. And his little heart was rejoicing all the way back home. He had that boat in his hands. And he talked to that boat and he said, "You are mine, boat. You are mine. You are mine twofold. You are mine by way of creation. And now you are mine by way of redemption. I bought you back." And friend, you got to understand, if you're saved this morning, you belong to God first of all by way of creation, but more than that, far more than that, you belong to God by way of redemption. He bought you back. He didn't go rob his piggy bank, shake a few pennies out of the jar. He sent his only son who shed his blood and went to the cross and died so he could buy you and me back. And we belong to him this morning. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. That's what I am this morning. I belong to God. Saved people are the purchase of God. Are you saved this morning? Have you been born again? You're purchased by God. You're bought with His own blood, the blood of Jesus Christ and the Son of God. So saved people are the purchase of God. Oh, that ought to mean something to me. That blesses my heart, friend. I put that on paper some days ago, but as I go through it this morning, it blesses my heart again this morning to know that I'm a purchase of God because of love and mercy and grace. And He redeemed me back from the devil and bought me through the shed blood of His own Son, Jesus Christ. Now, that's true. Saved people are the purchase of God. But now, wait a minute. Number two, I want to say this today. The evidence of the purchase is in us. The evidence of the purchase is in us. Remember, Jeremiah bought the field, 17 shekels of silver. He bought it. And by the way, I didn't even touch the surface on this matter of redemption, because the Bible talks about this in this thing right here, that it was Jeremiah's right to redeem it. I didn't go there. Don't have time. It's such a wonderful story. So he bought this field. And then the Bible says, remember what it said now. He said, you take the evidence, the open evidence and the sealed evidence. You take the two evidences, now watch this, and put it in an earthen vessel. A vessel of clay. That's what they made vessels of back then. You ever been to the Potter's House at Gatlinburg? Some of those quaint little towns where they have the old-timey stores and they have the potter's mill. And he made the pot out of the clay. That's what the earthen vessel was made of. It was made of earth. That's why it was called earthen vessel. Clay. He said, take the evidence of the purchase and put it in the vessel. Now listen. Saved people are the purchase of God. God purchased you and me. We are His purchased possession. And friend, God has put the evidence of that purchase in us. The evidence of His purchase is in us, in this body of clay, in this earthen vessel. God has put the evidence of His purchase. In the New Testament, we are referred to as earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. In 1 Thessalonians 4:4, we are told to know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 21, Paul talks about being a vessel unto honor. And when those words are used, it's used about my body. It's used about your body. I am a vessel. You are a vessel. We are an earthen vessel made from the dirt of the ground. God scooped up the dirt into His hands and fashioned and breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We are earthen vessels. We are human bodies of clay. Ah, but we belong to God. God purchased us when we got saved, and God took the evidence of the purchase and He put it into us. And God intends for people to know that we belong to Him. And He puts the evidence in us. And listen, here's what I'm going to tell you this morning. There's a twofold evidence. There's a twofold evidence. There's a sealed evidence and there is an open evidence. And both of them are placed in us. I don't have time to get to the open evidence. In fact, I may not have time to get through my thoughts on the sealed evidence, but I'll do my best. Let me talk to you about the sealed evidence. Are you saved? By the way, that's a good question to consider. Because only saved people belong to God. And only saved people are going to where God lives. Not religious people. Saved people. There's a big difference. Are you saved? And if you're saved, you're the purchase of God. And if you're the purchase of God, God has put into you, in your earthen vessel, in your body of clay, God has put the evidence of His purchase. And He has put two evidences, sealed and open. I want to talk about the sealed evidence. The sealed evidence was the title deed that was recorded, folded up, blot of wax, and the ring sealed it. No one could see it. Now hear me, friend. The Bible tells us in several verses that a saved person is sealed with the Holy Spirit. A saved person is sealed with the Holy Spirit. I don't have time to go to the Scriptures. In 2 Corinthians 1:22, in Ephesians 1:13, in Ephesians 4:30, the Bible says that we are sealed with the Spirit. That is, as soon as you get saved. As soon as a person gets saved, they become the purchased possession of God. And as soon as the purchase is made, the person is given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moves in the body. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19, Paul wrote these words, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Do you understand, friend, that one of the evidences of the purchase that God made when He saved you is the Holy Spirit? He gave you the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, moved in your body. And that Spirit of God is evidence of the purchase that God made when He saved you from your sin. On the night of October 15th, 1975, at a church altar at Graysville, Tennessee, Calvary Baptist Church, I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. As soon as I trusted Christ, I became the purchase of God. And as soon as I became the purchase of God, God said, okay, I'm going to give you some evidence of the purchase. And He put the Holy Spirit in me. The Holy Spirit moved. Now, wait a minute. Listen. Nobody saw that. Nobody saw that. I just stand at the church altar and a dove come flying out of heaven and land on me. I wasn't engulfed by a whirlwind of white smoke. And everybody saw it. No, nobody saw a ghost-like figure descending from heaven and moving in my body. Nobody saw that. It's unseen. Nobody saw it. But I want to tell you something, friend. As soon as I said yes to Jesus Christ, God said, okay, now you belong to me. And I've purchased you. And as part of the evidence of the purchase, I have put my Spirit into you. And God put His Spirit in me. And when you got saved, God put His Spirit in you. And when the Spirit moves in, He moves in to stay. He doesn't move to go anywhere. He's there to stay. Now, wait a minute. Nobody else can see the Holy Spirit move into your body, but you know it. You know it. You know it. I want to tell you something. When I got up from the altar that night after trusting Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I didn't know. I've been saved 36 and a half years almost. I didn't know all about the Bible that I know now. But I want to tell you something. I knew. I knew. I knew someone had moved in. Oh, yes, sir. Have you ever had anybody have a person that's not a member of their immediate family move into their house and live with them? Did they know it? You ever had some of your own immediate family, your grown children, that get married and then they move in for a while? We've had that. Did we know it? Oh, did we know it? Yeah, we knew it. We knew the good, the bad, and the ugly. You ever have somebody move a sick parent in? Yeah. Maybe you've heard somebody say, well, you know, I moved so-and-so into my house. They were so quiet, we didn't even know they were there. Well, maybe. I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit's not quiet. You say, oh, no, the Holy Spirit's not quiet. My Bible tells me that He teaches and He guides and He comforts and He protects and He convicts and He steps on our toes and He warns us and He prays. Brother, I want to tell you something. Look, a person, the Spirit of God moves in your things seem different about life when the Spirit of God moves into a person's life. That's why I feel different today about things than I felt 37 years ago. Look, I'm not proud of this. I wasn't saved until I was 18. And I was a part of some stuff that no saved person should ever be involved in. And most of that fell away. But when I tried to go back and re-involve myself in some of the stuff that I had been involved in before I got saved, everything was different. What I used to enjoy and just go hog wild about, it was like, man, this ain't right. You say, what college did you attend? None. How long had you been going to church? A few weeks. But when the Spirit of God moved in my body, God's Holy Spirit moved in my body. Friend, He's not going to move in the body of a person and there not be something different about life. That's the evidence of the purchase. And when I tried to go back and re-involve myself in some of that the old way of living, and the Spirit of God goes, this is not good. Ah, you know what that was? That was evidence. Ah, that was evidence. This doesn't sound like it used to sound. No, it doesn't. That was evidence. This doesn't feel like it used to feel. No, it doesn't. That was evidence. You shouldn't be here. I know it. What was it? That was evidence. That was evidence. Evidence. The Spirit of God moves in you, friend. That's part of the evidence of the purchase. Spirit of God moves in our body. Now, I'm saying that, and you're sitting out there hearing that this morning, but some of you, it's flying over your head or through your cranium without you thinking about that. Are you listening? The Spirit of God moves into your body. That's huge. All that God is and all that Jesus Christ is in the person of the Spirit took up residence in you. Took up residence in me. And you're going to tell me, well, I just don't feel any different than before I got saved. I just don't think any different than before I got saved. And I enjoy the same stuff that I used to enjoy. That's not lining up with what the Bible teaches, friend. Evidence. Evidence. God said, I purchased you. I bought you. Now you're saved. I bought you back through the shed blood of my Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to give you some evidence of that purchase. And part of the evidence that's sealed, nobody sees it, is the Holy Spirit of God moves in your body. By the way, friend, the Bible says, but the Bible calls that being sealed with the Spirit of promise. You say, what kind of promise? Well, in Ephesians chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians chapter 22, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit of promise is the, now don't miss this, is the earnest of our inheritance. Ah, the earnest. You say, I don't understand that. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. When you buy a house and you make an offer on the house, to show the owner that you are serious about the purchase, what do you give them? Earnest money. And that earnest money says, I'm serious about this purchase, and I'm fairly confident that I'm qualified to make this purchase at the bank, and I want you to give it to anybody else until we see. And here's the earnest money, $1,000, $500, $1,500, and here is the earnest money, which shows that I'm serious about this house. Now, what God does is similar, but it's not exactly the same. Listen very carefully. When we got saved, God said, okay, you belong to me. Someday, I'm going to bring you up here to live with me. And up here where I am, it's a wonderful place. It's called heaven. The street is made of gold. The walls are made of jasper. The gates made of pearl. There's a river with fruit-bearing trees, and someday, not yet, but someday, just so you know I am serious, just so you know I'm very serious about this, I am giving you my Spirit. My Spirit is the evidence, and it is also the earnest to remind you that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And every time the Holy Spirit teaches, pardon me, every time the Holy Spirit teaches us or guides us or comforts us or convicts us, every time He speaks to us, it is a reminder that we haven't been to the closing yet. But it's coming. And my inheritance is reserved for me in heaven. And one of these days, I'll go to the closing, glory to God, and that street of gold and those walls of jasper and that gate of pearl will be mine. And the Spirit of God who lives in me is God's evidence that I belong to Him. And the Spirit of God is also God's earnest that one of these days, I'm going to go to where He is. What a blessing that is. You say, well, Pastor, I'm saved, but I just don't ever, I really believe I'm saved, but I don't ever know the presence of someone within me. Well, let me give you a Bible verse. Romans 8:9 says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ,
He is none of His. The Spirit of God doesn't live in you, friend. I don't care how many claims you make. You don't belong to God. And you have no earnest. And your only hope is to be sent to that place that is separation from God forever and ever, called hell. I don't think you want that this morning. God's title deed. Are you saved? You are purchased of God. And part of the evidence that you belong to God, that sealed evidence, is put in an earthen vessel. That's the Holy Spirit of God He put within us. It's part of the evidence that we belong to God. We're His. And it's also our earnest that one of these days we're going to go to the closing. We're going to move into that wonderful place called heaven. It'll be ours forever and ever and ever. I don't want you to miss that. I don't want you to miss that. God's title deed. Are you purchased of God this morning? Have you been saved? And if so, the Spirit of God lives within you. And every time He speaks to you, every time He comforts you, every time He guides you, it's evidence. I belong to the King. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word this morning. Thank You for the privilege to preach from its pages. And now, dear God, would You please, by the power of Your Spirit, send the message to the heart and open the minds and the understanding of people all over this room. And God, if there's somebody here unsaved today, I pray that the light would come on. They'll see it, recognize it, and take care of it today. Thank You for the privilege of being Yours, for the purchase of our lost souls through the shed blood of Your Son Jesus, and for the evidence of that purchase in the person of the Holy Spirit. Help us today. In Jesus' name.